from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick, Alec Medford, and it is a shout-out Friday. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Do you want to kick off with any shout-outs or just get right to it?
I want to shout-out the dude from the 214 that said, I really can't stand the KNC Masterpiece.
Oh.
It's really a disservice to the fan. I want to shout him out. Really appreciate
what's his name?
Him that speaking his mind in a forum where he can't talk to us face-to-face.
Where is that on?
That's on the fan text.
Oh, man. Thanks for joining the fan text. Yeah. I really appreciate you listening for as long as you could.
It's fair enough.
Uh-huh. And then other shout-outs, if you want to, Kevin, shout out all the kids out there going to school today, man.
My kids aren't going to school.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
Huh.
I called them up. It's like 9:45 and they're not home. And I'm like, I think the JV football game's been over for a while. Where are you guys? They're like, oh, I'll be home. Their curfew is 11 o'clock on non-school nights. And so I'm like, you guys have to be home by 10 o'clock on school nights. And at this point, you're not going to be home on time. What is going on? And they're like, we don't have school tomorrow. And I'm like, what kind of world do we live in?
I mean, it's not that uncommon that if there's a Monday off, some kids will get a Friday off.
We just started. Learn. I have to be at work. You have to be at school.
Barry Fish says, shout out to my son for graduating basic training in the Navy yesterday, Corey, Mike, and Kevin. Is that his son?
That is very impressive. That's awesome.
Congratulations, yeah. Barry. Stop taking us off of football talk.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I actually am going to start with football talk, if that's okay with you guys. Now, we have a couple of different options that we can go down, and I have to make an admission about one of them. All right, one option is, one reason the Cowboys could win the Super Bowl this season, what is it for you? And then the latest Dak developments. I'm not going to lie to you. I have lots of notes. We have audio.
On the Dak stuff?
On the Dak stuff. I have lots of information about it. But Corey, when you asked me about it this morning, I just kind of sighed and I was like, I don't care anymore until it's done or not done. You know, like, it's a big deal. Whether or not Dak signs back here is a huge deal. I'm just tired of hearing all the perspectives on it until it gets done. Like, sign the deal, don't sign the deal, offer him the deal, don't offer him the deal, and like, let's go play football and deal with it later.
All right, so I saw somebody this morning, I can't remember who it was, they were like, hey, when you listen to Dak say this versus when you read it, it's completely different. And he said, do better, DFW media.
Yeah.
And then I listened to it and I was like, it still kind of sounds the same to me. It sounds like Dak is like, look, man, I'll be contentious if you want to get contentious about it. But the whole like line of not listening to what Jerry says in the media is because he's talked to Jerry off record.
Yeah.
And he knows that Jerry tells him something different than he tells us.
Sure.
And so that's one of the things that I think is going to get taken out of context there, because it looked like when you saw it in the headlines, it looked like, I don't really listen to what that MF-er says into the media, and F that guy for effing doing this. Like, that's what it sounded like. But then when you hear Dak say it, it's like, oh yeah, I mean, he's kind of right about that. And then the rest of it is, I'm not going to stress myself about it. I'm going to go out there and play, do my thing, and we'll let the cards fall where they do. And I think both sides seem comfortable going in that direction with it. If you don't succeed at what we want this year, we'll figure something else out.
Okay. I'm glad that you said that, because I agree with half of that.
All right.
I think that Dak is fine with that, because I think Dak looks at it from the perspective of, fine, if you don't want to pay me, I don't know if you heard, he was second in MVP last year.
I did hear that, yeah.
And then he's like, I can
One million times.
I can go find a job somewhere else. And like, there has not really been, if you want to argue Kirk Cousins, I would at least listen to that. But there's not really been a quarterback like him on the open free agent market. And I think he's like, I'll be fine.
And if you heard Florio this morning with Sean and RJ and Bobby, no longer Peyton. Then you heard him say he would be the biggest free agent on the open market since 1993 when Reggie White was out there.
Okay. So from his perspective, I'm sure he's like, that's fine if you don't want to sign me because you still don't believe what I can do, which essentially is Jerry's like, it feels like you would have seen it or not seen it by now. For the Cowboys, I think this is where I struggle, Mike. This is where I struggle caring about all the back and forth in the media about the talking and everything. I fundamentally do not believe that the Cowboys have the stomach to let Dak walk. I just don't. Let's just put aside, they don't want to let him walk because he's a big name, right? And they have a problem with letting big names walk. He also counts $40 million against the cap next year, whether he's here or not. Are you telling me?
With a cheap quarterback.
That's fine. I fundamentally do not believe that the Cowboys are willing to put in the work to find a usable, cheap quarterback or less expensive quarterback that will keep them good enough to stay relevant while they take the massive hit for Dak leaving. I think it's much more likely that they're like, all right, well, we don't have to do anything if we just give you the money. And yeah. So that's where I struggle on this.
This is where Cowboy fans want the Cowboys to be a real sports organization, and they're not. Look, they traded Herschel Walker, and I get there's not Herschel Walker trades available, in recent history for the most part. But guys, Jerry's been the same person pretty much from day one. It was Jimmy doing all the crazy stuff. Now, Jerry likes to take credit for it. But if Jerry was doing crazy things from 1989 to 1991 with the team and doing all kinds of maneuvering and all of these different things around the league to pick up extra draft picks or these, I don't know what they're called, Plan B free agents at the time, like Jay Novacek and stuff like that, then they would have continued to do that. Once Jimmy Johnson left, the team has been run approximately the same way from 1994 to 2024. He doesn't take chances. He's not a risk taker. Now, you can say, well, he's traded first round picks for wide receivers and stuff like that. But I mean, let's face it. He doesn't draft quarterbacks, for the most part. Yeah. He doesn't take big risk. He doesn't go, you know what? Screw this team. I'm so mad they went 8-8. I'm going to change. No, he's fine with it because at 8-8, you, the Cowboy fan, and I was back then, connected through all 16 games of the season, hoping they would make the playoffs and make a magical run in the playoffs to make the Super Bowl and win their sixth Super Bowl. And so that's who he is. It's not like it's just 10 years. It's from 1994 to 2024. He's not a risk taker in football. He doesn't try to change things up. He's not.
From a personnel standpoint, from a business standpoint, he'll argue that, right?
Yeah, he's calling up Mr. Papa John and probably calling up Little Caesar and saying who'll give him more money. Fair. But, like, he's not this guy who's, he's going to do this or he's going to take a risk with Dak Prescott or he's going to, no, he doesn't do any of those things. I wish it was. I wish that he cared more about football, but he doesn't and he hasn't. He has the gold jacket. He's in the Hall of Fame. He has 3 Super Bowl titles. It's all about power, money, and the other thing. Those are the 3 things he cares about. And so this whole Dak thing, it drives me insane that Cowboy fans actually think he's going to work. And he's not going to allow Will McClay and Stephen Jones to truly work. He's kind of let that be known.
Sure. From the 817, this is a, I appreciate this kind of shout out, but I also appreciate you willing to put your story out there. From the 817, shout out to you guys for always keeping me in a positive mood. I need it since today is my third anniversary from trying to commit suicide.
Oh, man.
And a lot of the reason why I didn't is because you guys actually talk about mental health issues. Look, hit me back. I don't know. You might already have my phone number. I don't always recognize like phone numbers just by looking at the actual number. That's why the names pop up on my phone. But if you need someone to talk to, we will be your person to talk to. I'm very glad that you're still here.
Yeah, thanks for sticking around.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, always stick around for the next segment is what I'll say.
Okay.
You know, the next segment of life.
Sure.
You never know what could happen on the other side of the break.
I like that. I like that. All right. Now, the other thing is, and this is put out by Fox Sports, 32 Super Dreams. And it said, why your team has a shot to win the Super Bowl. No, really. And so they like walk through, they gave every team a shot. And they even with the Patriots, they're like, hey, you were so bad last year. Surely you got to bounce back up. Like they tried their best to think of a reason why every single one of these teams has a shot at the Super Bowl. And the one for the Cowboys. And I wanted to see what y'all thought about this because I actually could see this happening. I'm not saying this means win a Super Bowl, but I could see this happening. Do you think the Cowboys have the components or I guess the potential to have a top five offense and a top five defense, at least in the regular season? I realize when it translates all to the playoffs, all bets are off, but that's a big reason I think for their potential success.
Again, I mean, if they have the blowouts that they had last year, then yeah, they're going to be a top five offense. They destroyed bad teams last year. It was whenever they went up against good teams. And I think we factored in about 8 good teams on their schedule this year that you were like, oh man, that's a really tough part of their schedule there. So there is a stressful part of their schedule, but I think, you know, as long as they have Dak and CeeDee Lamb together, like they're going to be productive.
Sure.
And then the points, when the points matter, that's what's really important. On the defensive side, I think they have the talent there. They are, I still feel like their defensive line, their front is missing a few things. Especially when Sam Williams went down, they're throwing Micah there, but they don't, Mike Zimmer doesn't really want to leave Micah there as frequently as he's going to get the type of pressure they want. So Nealon has to grow up really fast, but I think their secondary, oh crap, Kevin, now Deron Bland's gone. I think it's going to be a little bit tougher to be a top five defense.
Okay.
But I think they can definitely be a top five offense.
So one team maybe finishes top five in both per year. I don't even like this.
It's probably a low number. I would have to go back and check.
Yeah.
On
if you
that.
Say top 10, I will say, yeah, sure. I think there's probably the top two or three teams in the NFL who probably get the bye. At worst, they're the 2 seed, finish top 10 in both categories. I don't see the Cowboys finishing top five, but I don't know if I see any team finishing top five.
Okay.
So that's, I think that's a tough question.
More likely, would you think top five offense or top five defense?
Is offense all we're doing is points or yards?
I'm going off of points.
They'll score points.
I'll lean towards offense because I don't think they can run the ball. And I think once you get to about week 3 or 4, Mike McCarthy is going to be passing the ball 40-something times, which is going to lead to turnovers.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to because he's going to be like, this is worthless, handing it off to Zeke and whoever else.
Dalvin Cook.
I guess.
Rico Dowdle.
Yeah.
Deuce Vaughn.
So I think.
Where's Snoop?
I think these are going to be. I think the Cowboys are going to have, in a way, possibly longer games if they are better against the run. So the other team can't control the tempo and flow of the game. And then they can't run the ball at all. That means we're probably going to see a lot of passes, which when it's incomplete, the clock stops.
Now, I want to read this text because this is what I'm curious about. If the Cowboys from the 214, if the Cowboys sign Dak and they lose in the first round, the apathy will get worse. So for the Cowboys, it's worth waiting a year and then getting stuck with him. I am not sold. I will be. I'm not totally sold on the apathy just yet. And here's why. Like we talked about the crowds at training camp were way, way down. Mm-hmm. And I understand people are saying like, hey, I'm just not as excited and everything. Cowboys go out and beat the Browns, let's just say 31-10. I'm just going to use an exaggerated score to start this out. does that apathy remain, or do you think people were like, yeah, I didn't want to watch, but I did? Like, I'll believe the apathy is really there once we start to see, like, feedback and ratings after real games start.
Oh, the ratings are going to, they're going to still be through the roof.
Yeah.
Because people want to watch them lose, too. And
people want to watch football,
that
too.
That is true.
Like, people just, they crave football. How many people last night were completely invested in that Colorado game?
That maybe they didn't really care otherwise, yeah. But it's like, it's football.
But it's football, yeah. And it was on a Thursday night, and you didn't have a Rangers game, and you really didn't have anything else that you were too charged up about. So, yeah, man, and it's the Cowboys. The ratings will always consistently be there for them. I understand what you're saying, though. Will they dip enough to be like, oh, there was apathy, and it is starting to chip away at this monster?
Because I know it sounds weird, but I think that's actually what makes the difference. Like, it's not the losing in the playoffs. It's the, hey, now the Packers had the highest rated game. Or now the like, I think that's what would make the difference.
And
then,
Kevin, the only solution, because Jerry would look at it and go, Dak's the reason that our ratings are down. The only solution, and probably Mike McCarthy, would be to go get a new head coach and a new quarterback.
From Colorado
yeah, to bring I back know. All the ratings, like I Mike know. Said the other day.
From the 832, shout out to my wife, Vanessa. We just got to see our baby's face, hands, and feet. Love it, love it, love it. Question Isn't for all the parents out there.
Hand, foot, and mouth? Is that what that is?
No, no, no. Do you ever think those 3D models of your baby are horrifying?
Yes.
Even if it is your baby, aren't you kind of like, huh?
I didn't get one with any of our kids, but that was because we were a little like on the very early stages
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they showed it to us, like, I think it was Lucy, they were like, hey, would you like to get one of these? I was like, ah, no, that is scary looking.
It is terrifying.
What's wrong? What happened to her face?
We're the KNC masterpiece right here. That's what all those 3D models look like. Coming up next, NFL overreaction or reality? 877-881-1053. You want to get involved in any of our conversations, also on the Twitch, the YouTube. It's a shout out Friday. Get into it next, right here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here on the Fan.
Goff takes the shotgun snap back. Wants to throw over the middle. Got a man wide open. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan on a shout-out Friday, 877-881-1053. If you want to participate, Corey, you're going to have to help me out if I said this one right. Mm. For the 817, can I get a shout-out, Corey? I'm taking a half day today to go play B06 Beta WWW and a whole bunch of zeros. It launches at noon. I'll admit, I understand that is a gaming thing. I don't quite understand.
Oh, Black Ops 6 Beta is launching today at noon. So yeah, I didn't pre-order it or any of that stuff. So I think I'm retiring. I think I'm done with video games. Yeah. My buddy and I had committed, probably in January that we were going to retire in August, and we haven't played, I think it's been 2 weeks now. So yeah, it's been a minute. But man, if you're going to get after that Black Ops 6, let me know. It looks gorgeous.
I definitely understand why they wanted you to do that shout out, Corey. I tried my best. All right, it's time for NFL overreaction or reality. Overreaction or reality. Gentlemen, you're aware of and super excited about the fact that this is the last weekend without real NFL football until February.
Go, Corey.
I love it. Last night, by the way, I just saw Travis Hunter only came off the field for 2 plays the entire game.
That man is a stud.
And I believe, didn't they, whoever they played in their opening game, he didn't come off the field for a single play.
That was last season.
Yeah, TCU. Last year.
Yeah.
And it, what's that?
TCU, I assume, right?
Yeah. I think that is right. Yeah.
Yeah, it was TCU. Didn't come off the field at all. So I'm fascinated by what he's going to be.
He's fantastic.
But yeah, last night fed my football craving that I've been having this whole, look, man, I'm not going to lie. The Rangers down year really like has hurt me. I think it's hurt all of us. And so the need for something great. I mean, we had great Stars runs. We had great Mavs runs. And then we had a down Rangers season. So, yeah, I need some football because there's a lot of things on the line for me. Fantasy-wise, my marriage, all sorts of stuff.
Is your marriage have?
Don't worry about that.
Oh,
man.
My
we'll
gosh.
See.
Sounds like he bet on his marriage through football.
Man, I actually am really intrigued by that concept. I'm going to have to workshop that in my head a little bit. All right.
I like football.
Okay, good, Mike.
But I don't need it.
Okay. All right.
But my Sundays.
If there was no baseball or basketball, then would you need it?
Yeah, but I think that we all lie to ourselves that we want football all the time. If you did, you'd watch USFL or whatever. It's XFL or whatever
it's
it is.
UFL now.
Yeah. Like, it's a seasonal thing that we love, and we love it's in the fall, and obviously the weather change. There's a lot of things that I think goes with it. The family aspect of gathering around with the family on a Sunday afternoon. So I'm not saying that football isn't awesome. It is. But if we loved it so much, you know, we wouldn't love it if it was like literally the Cowboys played 82 games. We'd be like, it's great. Just like Mavericks and Stars are great.
After time.
I get it. It's we need the break.
Yes.
To be this excited.
From the 817, yes, I am all in.
Except for real.
Huh?
Except for real.
No, I'm definitely all in.
Okay.
Yeah.
NFL overreaction to reality. Tyler Guyton will look like a stud right out of the gate.
This is tough because he's going up against one of the best in the game.
For sure.
So he might look really good in the pass defense or the pass protection. I'm still kind of curious on how good he is in run blocking. I want to see a little more of that as they go along and see if he can open a big enough lane for Zeke to make it through. But yeah, man, I think that he's going to look very good. I don't know about a stud, though. I think he's going to look very good and give you a lot of confidence going forward.
I haven't followed the history of tackles the last 10 years, but do any guys come out like Penei Sewell? Do any guys just come out like, well, they're top five in the NFL as a rookie? And I'm not saying he won't be top five in his career, but I think of Tyron Smith.
I don't know if Penei Sewell got to top five straight.
Yeah, for some reason, maybe it's just his name.
Sounds like a Creed Humphrey at center, but you asked about tackles, so I'm not.
Because would you say the best rookie ever in our lifetime for Cowboys, would you say it's Larry Allen or Zach Martin?
I mean, I would
say. Like, as a rookie.
It just felt like Zach Martin was so damn good.
Yeah.
I don't remember Larry Allen's rookie year as much as I just remember his career.
And obviously he joined an awesome offensive line. Not saying Zach Martin didn't join a good one.
It was a good offensive line. He made it better. He solidified it. And it was just, he was plug and play.
I think he's going to be good.
I think that's more than anything else. Okay. You want plug and play from a rookie. You want somebody you put in, you're just like, I don't have to worry about it.
Can I re-ask the question to you, Kevin? Will Guyton be better than Tyler Smith? Like rookie year.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
This is interesting because we did not expect anything from Tyler Smith.
No, he overperformed.
Nobody had a clue. Everybody was like panicking about it.
And are the expectations for Guyton too high now?
Then when you go watch his film, you were like, okay, I see a lot of things. I think so.
Okay.
I think maybe it's gotten a little bit too high, but I think there's going to be a solid offensive line.
Okay.
But I'm not ready until maybe next year to say stud.
Overreaction or reality. Corey, I'm going to start with you on this one. Sports Illustrated jinxed the Lions by putting them on the cover of their NFL preview issue.
Oh, no.
There's a magazine still?
I did not know that
either. I know. That's why I had to bring
that information. I thought they announced they stopped printing it.
Didn't they, bring it back for a while again, though?
I don't know.
Okay.
Nobody knows.
Or at least the digital issue.
Are you going to Barnes & Noble?
That still exists.
Why? Barely.
Yeah,
I'm not here to speak about
how many Barnes and Nobles are there, you think?
Hey, it's tough. Sometimes corporations run into hard times. There's sometimes they go bankrupt.
Cheesecake Factory. Oh, there's one off the 75, yeah, like still near there? Near the mall.
Do you think the Cheesecake Factory keeps Barnes & Noble in business by continuing to print their yearbook-style menus? That's what I think. All right.
And books. We need books. We don't need newspapers anymore.
It's fair.
But we need books, though?
Not really. You can read it off of your laptop or your iPad or whatever, but I feel like a lot of people like the feel of a book.
And it looks cool on a shelf.
I mean, there's probably like 12 people that are under the age of 50 that like the feel of a newspaper.
I am one of those people, so I will admit to that.
You still have, like, they deliver it to your house every day?
I did eventually move to digital, but I do like holding the newspaper. Yeah.
From the 817, I'm here at Barnes & Noble right now listening on Odyssey.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
One of 600 in the U.S., by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
47 in Texas.
Yeah, one of 600 listeners.
47 in Texas. 600 locations, I think, is what he meant.
They drinking coffee there?
That was a smart move by Barnes & Noble.
Black Forest ham sandwich.
Or a scone.
I'm still not totally sure what a scone is.
It's a pastry.
It's hard.
It is hard.
Okay, but surely you have to give me a better description because you can't just say eat this thing, it's hard.
Well, you think
you have to come up with a better description.
All right, it's like a biscuit, but a denser, harder biscuit.
Or like a muffin that's gone stale but still tastes good.
Yeah.
Huh.
Something that you'd want to dip maybe in your coffee or your milk.
Yeah, okay. Soak up some juice.
All right, Mike, this one is just for you.
Ooh, on me.
NFL overreaction or reality, Kyle Pitts.
My guy.
Finally.
Jerry Rice and Tony Gonzalez combined.
A massive year.
No.
All right, can you remind everybody why, like, maybe Kyle Pitts gets picked on?
I love my man Jeff Kavanaugh. But, man, when he was doing the draft pretty hard with Brian Broaddus, he built this guy up as he is Jerry Rice and Tony Gonzalez. Whichever one, you can use him anyway. Put him out wide. Put him into the tight end position. This dude is unstoppable. The best tight end prospect in the history of football. And I was just like, you're comparing him to arguably the greatest tight end catcher in Tony Gonzalez and the greatest wide receiver of all time, Jerry Rice. You're saying this dude has all of those traits?
Rolled into one.
Well, and I will say this. Jerry Rice's first year, 927 yards and 3 touchdowns.
There we go.
Kyle Pitts' first year, 1,026 yards and 1 touchdown.
What happened after that?
Look, man. Yeah, when you have Marcus
Mariota. Has he had a 1,000-yard season?
I don't think he's got 1,000 yards combined.
Hold on. Did Jerry Rice have Joe Montana out of the gate?
He did.
So he had one of the best quarterbacks of all time. And Kyle Pitts has had to deal with Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota this whole time. And now he finally gets a step up in Kirk Cousins.
You don't like Kirk Cousins.
I don't, but he's better than those two.
All right.
But he's no Joe Montana. That being said, Mike, it is that combination of the two. But it was pretty overhyped at the time. But I do think that him having a quarterback that can distribute the ball is better for his future.
If you're that good, you're not going to dip below 1,000 yards. You're just not. You're going to get open. I get it's tougher in the red zone because things are condensed.
At 35.
He only had 78 yards that year.
All right, next overreaction reality. Jared Goff.
The golfer.
Is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy.
I think he is.
Okay.
I think I do too.
I don't.
Okay.
But
I also don't think Brock Purdy's a scrub.
Yeah.
I think Jared Goff is pretty darn good.
Now, that being said, I do think San Francisco, this is my deal about, I'll just go into buying cards because you're really investing in a player when you're buying these cards. Sure. You're saying, I believe that his stock is going to go up. My issue with Brock Purdy is long term. And this is my issue with Jared Goff. When I give that player $50 or more million per year because they've entered that category of quarterback, can he still carry a team with losing approximately $20 to $40 million worth of players around him? And my answer on both of them is I don't think so. So I think Goff is still in this small window that Detroit has. Once his thing, once his salary kicks in,
yes, this year and next year at the most to get it done.
Yeah, and then I think they're in big trouble because they have a lot of talent on that team. When they have to lose some of that talent because of the quarterback salary, I don't think Goff is going to be looked at as that great. And I think Brock Purdy right now has the perfect scenario where he's on league minimum pretty much. And so a year or two from now, can Brock Purdy at $50 to $60 million a year with eliminating about $50 million worth of players on the 49ers, I don't think he can. So I do like both of them. I'll lean towards Brock, but it's more of the unknown. He's more of a prospect, and Jared Goff is in his prime or at the end of his prime.
Corey, if I was taking one today, I would take Goff.
Okay, me too.
But I see where Mike's going with that, but like today, I would take Goff.
Corey, I'm going to need you to do some damage control here from the 817. Hi, I work at Barnes & Noble. We are big-time KNC fans, but after y'all drug our name through the mud, we are turning the radio off. Good day, sir.
Fine. Are you kidding me? I went to Barnes & Noble in Detroit to get a coffee and a sconer. I can't even remember what I got. I did get something to eat there, but I think it had protein on it.
Dude, I always take my kids to the kids section and let them sit around.
Their kids section is
dope. And they sit around and read books and stuff. I love it, man.
We're just saying magazines. We don't really do those too much anymore.
Man, I used to love Mike, I realize
I'm with you. I have some old Sports Illustrated.
Outdated media. I love
the magazines. Don't want to read what Sports Illustrated thought about 2 weeks ago? No. Like, unfortunately, it's just changed. Back in the day, Sports Illustrated for kids. Give me the 9 cards. And let me read something. Now I'm like, whatever.
NFL overreaction to reality. Last one for you guys. Caleb Williams will become the first ever Bears quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in a season. Bonus question.
Oh, yes.
Can you tell me who owns the team record?
This is Jay Cutler.
Oh, that's worse. A good guess. Cade McNown.
Who is the?
Ooh, he's probably in that area, but no.
Kyle.
Rex Grossman.
Orton.
Worse.
Mitch Orton. Trubisky.
Worse. Probably in that.
Scott Erickson.
Doug Flutie. Jim McMahon.
Eric Kramer.
Oh, the Kramer.
Eric Kramer holds the Bears' single season passing record with 3,838 yards.
Giddy up.
Yes, I understand.
The 214, can Borders and Walden books also get a shout out?
Barnes & Noble took them out, right? Are they still alive?
I don't know. I did remember Walden Books was the one in the mall, right? Like, I'm sure they had other locations, but I feel like Walden Books was a huge part of the mall.
Yeah, it looks like Walden Books was taken down by Barnes & Noble.
Well, congratulations, Barnes and Noble.
I don't know about
Borders.
Borders? I don't know.
I don't think there's a Borders anymore.
All right. Oh, from the 817. Game Informer.
That's the whole thing we're
Barnes
voting
and
on,
Noble
right?
Took them down
in November?
Too.
Man.
Yeah. Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, right, Kevin?
What's that?
You get my joke?
I did not hear what you said. Was it a political joke?
Yeah, it was. It's okay. Like, are we voting on that in November?
Oh, my God.
We're voting on bookstores?
Borders, the bookstore. No, no. Not the geopolitical policy. No.
I'm just kidding.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan for the 214. Shout out to you guys. Love the show. So I told them, of course, that we love them back. It is a shout out Friday right here on 105 through the Fan for the 806. This is awesome. Shout out to me for retiring today from working for 40 years. That's Dale from Amarillo.
Nice.
Heck yeah.
What are you going to do now?
Awesome retirement.
Yeah, man. What are your plans?
You watch Chimp Crazy.
I have a joke.
Oh, God. Is it about politics?
It
is.
We got to go, Mike. We'll do it in the next. We'll do it in the next segment.
Hey, do you know what restaurant vice president? I almost said president.
It's going to be on the border. It's
my gosh, you got it.
You knew that was going to be the answer. I didn't even need to hear the joke.
Okay.
Feels like it could have offended everyone. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets and Who Knows. More of the Comedy Hour with Mike Bassett.
Am I doing a disservice by not mentioning every second that Corey Seager was second in MVP last year? Next.
One ball, two strikes. Here comes Evaldi. Swung on and a bouncing ball over third. Diving stop by Young. Gets up, throws. He got him. A glittering play by Josh Young. Diving across the foul line and stealing an extra base hit from Lenin Sosa.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Mike, I need you to help me with some damage control here. Can you shout out people from Half Price Books? Because they are sad that we left them out.
Half Price Books, shout out. I've been to your store.
There you go. That'll work for me. Now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All right. So I changed up Baseball Nuggets, by the way. Baseball Nuggets, this is it for Fridays.
Yep.
Obviously, we get into football season next week, and the Rangers didn't do enough to keep Baseball Nuggets on Fridays.
It appears as
probably
though
that not is on
true.
Mondays either. We'll have Baseball Nuggets Monday. Oh, no, we won't. That's it. No more Baseball Nuggets on Mondays or Fridays because we don't work on Monday. And
just
neither do
this
most people.
Specific Monday. Alec will be holding it down in our time slot.
All right. You know what's interesting is that we get off on Labor Day. Doesn't that sound like the day you're supposed to work the most?
Who says I'm not?
You're not. Okay. So this is based off of what you said in the first segment, Kevin. I changed up my nuggets. Instead of talking about waivers, I figured I would talk about this. We have heard a million times, and maybe I'm too low on a million, from the Jones family to Willie McClay to everybody. That, oh, Dak, second MVP, second and MVP, Dak, second and MVP, Dak, second and MVP. And it drives me effing insane.
Why?
If you can't tell.
It did happen, Mike.
He was
it
that
did.
Close.
You know what else happened last year? Corey Seager finished second in MVP, and Marcus Semien finished third in MVP. Have I done a disservice by not starting every Baseball Nugget segment off by saying that they finished second and third in MVP last year?
I think you have. We really dropped the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
We should have. Well, I think we were just so caught up in the fact that they won the World Series.
Oh, that they actually, like.
That didn't matter as much.
So, are you saying that they actually earned kind of their second and third in MVP in the American League last year, where we all know that Dak in the NFL will probably never get back to that? Probably didn't deserve it at all. And he's never the second best quarterback in NFL in his time, but he did get second in MVP. You can't take that away. So we have to jam it down my throat every day of my life that he got second in MVP last year.
Well, at least you knew that was going to happen, though.
Then give him $800 zillion dollars if that's the case, you know?
That is a weird dynamic of you'll hear Jerry and Steven say, well, we know he's great because he got second in MVP, and you're like, yeah, I'm not sure the Dolphins think Tua's great or the Eagles think Hurts is great. They gave them contract extensions. Like, what's the holdup?
Yeah, so now going back to Corey Seager.
Oh, no.
Corey Seager. Oh, what's up?
Mike, so somebody from Barnes & Noble.
Oh, yeah?
Said, do you know why some of the bookworms go up to their store to break up? They're just not on the same page.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It sounds like a good one.
Back to you, Mike.
All right. So Corey Seager yesterday hit his 200th career home run.
He did.
And his 30th home run of the season. That's 3 years in a row for the Texas Rangers that he's had 30 or more home runs. He had 33 last year, 33 the year before. And my son asked me, he said, do you think he's going to get 33 this year? I was like, I hope not, because that would be a really bad month of September.
Yeah.
And I know we're not to September yet, but I need him to hit more than three home runs the rest of the way.
True.
I was like, I put it at 37. I said, I hope he ends up the year. I think seven more home runs is very doable for him. I'd love for him to get to 40, but sure. I think very doable for him would be getting to 37 home runs.
Has he had less of a quality year? Or has the quality still been there overall? It's just the team has not been as good, so it hasn't got as much notice.
He's usually, I don't have his stats pulled up, he's around a 40 double guy. He had 42 doubles last year. He led the American League in doubles last year. So that's the one thing that's down tremendously in his game. So if he ends up hitting, let's say, 38 home runs or 37 home runs, I believe 33 is the most in his career in a season, and it's back-to-back years for the Rangers. So if he does, let's say, have 37 home runs, I guess you can say, well, hell, they're better than double. So yeah. If he's lacking in doubles, just take the four or five extra home runs and go, well, that's great that he took away a few doubles to add to home runs. But he's had a rough year in this, is that he started off so bad because he started off hurt.
Yeah, after the injury.
I think, you know, behind the scenes, most people have said, you know, Corey pushed himself too much to play opening day. probably should have taken the first 2 weeks of still rehabbing and not played the first 2 weeks of the season, but he felt like, look, we're the defending champs. It's, you know, we're playing at home, we're on ESPN, and then it's ring ceremony. And, you know, he understands the value that he has as a player on that team and then in the lineup. And he's like, I'm just going to play instead of continuing, let's say, a slower rehab process where when he showed up, let's just say in the second or third week of the season, he'd be really ready to go. I'll just fight through this. And so what's amazing to me is that he, at the end of the year, if you look at batting average and you look at OPS and then you look at home runs, he's going to have a really good year again where he started off so bad. And the weird thing is as the Rangers were 22-17, he wasn't very good. At the 22-17 mark for the Rangers, when things started going bad is when he kind of turned it up. And I'm not blaming him at all, but as he got hot, the rest of the Rangers got really cold.
Which is kind of awesome that whenever he sees that his team's in dire need, he's like, I got you guys, you know, and he steps up and does that. But the rest of the team didn't deliver either.
Now, I am going back to this. Do you think that we do a disservice that we don't talk about Corey Seager's second in MVP voting for time?
This is just my opinion. Maybe people will be upset by it. I think that you talk about things like that when you don't have anything else to talk about. So, like, I think we talk about Dak finishing second in the MVP because the season ended so poorly for the Cowboys. And nobody talks about Simeon and Seager being 2-3 because you're like, you don't need to talk about it. They won the World Series.
What are you talking about? This is a team that's gone 12-5, three straight seasons, Kevin, and they very scarcely talk about that.
They always talk about that.
Yeah, they do always talk about that.
And so that's because you have nothing else to talk about. You know why the Rangers don't talk about the MVP? Because they're like, because we're defending our World Series title.
Yeah, so
I don't think you're doing a disservice, Mike. No, I really don't, because, again, the title was the most important thing for them.
I think if you talk to casual Rangers fans next year and you go, hey, do you know Corey Seager, where he's finished in MVP standings in his Ranger time? They might go, oh, crap. I know he hasn't won it. What did he finish? Like, did he finish top three? You know, because they'll be like, I don't care. I know he won the MVP of the World Series for us, and I know all the big hits he got in the playoffs for us, and I know that he led us to a championship.
When it was the biggest moment, he delivered, and that's what you remember the most. Whenever you fail in the biggest moment, we remember the failures.
True.
I know that Emmitt has won the MVP in 1993 for the Dallas Cowboys. I think we're going to remember Dak finishing second in MVP more than we'll ever remember any Cowboy doing anything in MVP voting. And Emmitt won. And I think this one,
lost the Super Bowl, as it should. I'm sure Emmitt's like, yeah, give me the ring over the MVP trophy all day.
So anyways, I just wanted to take another shot at the Dallas Cowboys, and somebody called me out on YouTube for it. I get it. I do it too much. You know, we're about ready to get into Cowboy season, and never forget, Dak finished second in MVP voting.
Hell yeah. And there's a lot of book-based or Barnes & Noble's jokes coming
in. A lot of people were proud of that bookworm joke. That wasn't my joke. It was a Tolo's. I just liked it. I just thought it was funny.
Okay. Quality.
Because they're not on the same page.
No, yeah.
And that's what is in a book. There's lots of pages.
No, I understood. As usually is the case, my layout was not based on lack of understanding. From the 972, it's a shout-out Friday. My brother is going to have his baby on Monday. I am so hyped. Congratulations to your brother.
What kind of baby?
What does that mean? Are you allowed to even ask that?
Oh, man, that's a good question.
Coming
Can
up
you
next.
Ask that anymore?
Let's talk.
I hope with they our... say human.
Fair. We'll talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.